is in the name of the Lord. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and of one another. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you
in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, and in all that we have not done. Forgive us in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Deliver and restore us, that we may rest in peace.
By the mercy of God, we are redeemed by Jesus Christ, and in him we are forgiven. Let us rest in his peace until the rising of the sun, when we shall serve him in newness of life. Lord God, you never slumber nor sleep, but your eyes are always open to our needs. Watch over our welfare on this perilous journey. Shade us from the dangers that surround us, and keep us safe from harm. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Thank you.
One of the best customs of the Lenten season is to hear in the weeks that make up those 40 days of preparation for Holy Week and Easter, to hear the story of the Savior's suffering and death, the Passion history. This year, our gospel lessons in the C series come from Luke, Matthew in A, Mark in B, Luke in C. And so from the two Passion chapters of Luke 22 and 23 comes the story of the Savior's suffering and death. Part 1, we find him preparing for the celebration of the Passover and in the upper room with his disciples. Now the feast of unleavened bread, called the Passover, was approaching. And the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some way to get rid of Jesus, for they were afraid of the people. Then Satan entered Judas, called Iscariot, one of the 12. And Judas went to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and discussed with them how he might betray Jesus. They were delighted and agreed to give him money. He consented and watched for an opportunity to hand Jesus over to them when no crowd was present. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Into your hands I commend my spirit. Redeemed me, O Lord God of truth.
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
the Holy Spirit.
Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose glory in the cross was so often hidden. Fellow children of God, as our Lenten pilgrimage continues, we walk tonight with the Savior to the Garden of Gethsemane. There, we can surely say, the glory of Christ's suffering and death, the glory of the cross, was hidden. With great sighs, the Savior called out to his Heavenly Father in prayer. And in the darkness of that night, we see the glory of Jesus Christ, even though it's not apparent. Listen as Luke tells us the story of Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." This is the word of the Lord. What awful moments the Savior spent in the Garden of Gethsemane. It was well into the night, the day of his sacrifice had arrived. Remember that for Jewish people, that Good Friday begins with the sunset on our Thursday evening. He had a wonderful time with the disciples celebrating that joyous festival of God's people in the upper room. We heard him say, I've longed to celebrate this time with you. It must have been a wonderful respite from what was coming. But now, he is alone. He goes apart from the disciples, a stone's throw away, to pray. And what is coming is falling upon him. Even as he is praying to his Father for strength, for rescue if it were possible, but for strength to accept God's will, Judas is trekking about in the holy city, probably going to the upper room with the soldiers to capture Jesus, but not finding him there, knowing that he would be on the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's on his way. Jesus knows what lies ahead, the spitting and the scourging, the trek to Golgotha, the nails, hanging naked for a day on the cross. All of that lies ahead of him. But it's not likely that it was those things that caused his sweat to come off of him like blood. No, Jesus knew the scripture. He knew God's word like no other human being has ever known God's word. And he must have surely thought as he was praying to his Father of that terrible abyss that lay ahead, because he knew the words, those terrible words of Isaiah in chapter 53. It was God's will to crush him. So here he is praying in the union of love within that exists in God's person, that the Lord would be with him, but knowing that it is God who is going to crush him, who is going to allow this to happen, who is going to turn his back at the worst possible time. And why? Why is he going forward with this? Well, we're able to say, in almost disbelief, if we're honest, that he did it for us. Such love is hard to grasp. It really is what is the heart of Lent. And so the scene is a terrible one. It would have been difficult to look on him, much less to see what's going to come in the future. Isaiah said it, men turn their eyes away from such a terrible sight. And yet, it is the glory of the cross, isn't it? The Savior was determined to carry out his Father's will, and it was God's desire that we would be with him, that we could spend an eternity with him in a new heaven and a new earth, even though we threw the old one away, and even though, no matter what God tries to do, we have such great difficulty in appreciating it. This is a glory that goes beyond our understanding. And God intends his love to take a hold of you, to put in your heart a bond with him that can overcome sin, that can take you from being dead in sin and make you alive in Christ Jesus. That's why the Savior went forward. And he did so alone. He was deep in prayer with his Father, but the valley of the shadow of death lay ahead. There was an angel there, sent by God to strengthen him. Who knows how angels strengthen us when we're tempted? Oh, but he did have the disciples with him, didn't he? He said to them, "Can you watch with me in this terrible time? Can you just be there for a little bit?" What were they doing? They were sleeping. Well, I guess we could say that's not so bad. Jesus had been telling them all night long and for weeks previous to this that he was leaving them. He was talking about dying and crucifixion even. And the disciples were worn out. Luke says it was sorrow that weighed those eyes down late that night. You know, everyone stayed up all night long on Passover night. But the disciples are asleep. I guess I can think of all kinds of excuses because for them, you know, when you're just left alone, you're not quite sure what to do. The eyes get heavy, and pretty soon you're dozing off. I find it easy to make excuses for them because it's just all of us who are there, isn't it? Every one of us here has been, every child of God has been in, let's say, Peter's situation where in a moment when we should have stood up and boldly declared our Christian faith and given witness to Jesus Christ, we in effect said, "I don't know him. Never heard of the guy," when we kept our mouths shut. But it isn't just those dramatic times. It's also the falling asleep. It's the not being there. Imagine what was happening that night. You've experienced when you were a child, or you remember in children and grandchildren, how on Christmas night it's sometimes difficult for little ones to go to sleep. You know, they're just so excited about all the things that are happening at Christmas time. They just can't wait for Christmas morning. Here was the most important night in the history of the world, and the disciples are asleep. Whose footsteps on this Lenten pilgrimage are we following? Where are we placing our feet? In the footsteps of the Savior or the footsteps of the disciples? Well, we're children of God like the disciples, and we're putting them in both places, aren't we? But the purpose of Lent is to draw us into the Lord, to make more firm the bond that started at the baptismal font, that strengthened through the Word. Each Lenten season, we renew, or we should say God renews, this bond of faith that began in baptism and that continues through our lives. We are God's children. We do want to walk in the Savior's footsteps in this Lenten season. But there's just so many things going on in our lives. And our spiritual eyelids begin to droop. And we're dozing off into a world of another kingdom, our own. A kingdom that has all kinds of things happening that distract us from what our real purpose is. It's a wonderful thing to raise a family. It's a wonderful thing to make a living. It's a wonderful thing to provide a home, to be a friend, to be a citizen in a nation, to do all of the things that we do in life. But the most important thing of all is that we are part of the kingdom of God. We are His subjects. And we need the strength not to fall asleep. And so, the Savior's suffering, the Savior's willing love to go forward no matter what, helps us. Because the Holy Spirit uses these things to cement the bond with Jesus Christ. And more, as we walk in that way in Lent, our eyes are open. We're not sleeping. We're not letting Satan, twice Jesus said, pray that you will not fall into temptation. See, the temptation that we face is to sleep, to just not think that the kingdom of God is all that important. I've got lots of things out there that I've got to take care of. I'm buried. I'm stressed out. There are so many things. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, we find ourselves asleep. It's true, isn't it? Well, the idea isn't just to hammer ourselves. The idea is to get connected to Jesus. So, the wonderful glory of the cross that's going to take us to heaven, to the new heaven and earth that God is going to create, is here in these beautiful stories of God's love, of what Jesus Christ did. Tonight, the Holy Spirit is connecting you to Jesus. He's showing you His love, and through Jesus, you're connected with the Father. That's what Lent is about. That's the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ and the terribleness of what happened, in fact, shows its glory. So as these Wednesday evenings continue, as on Sunday mornings we see the clash between Jesus and the forces of evil, we're growing in faith. We're laying hold of the rock that is Jesus Christ, the one who will redeem us. So may the hidden glory of the cross be yours throughout this Lenten season. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. As God's children, we're privileged to bring our offerings to the Lord.
this night with your celestial brightness, that by night as by day your people may glorify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us.
Amen.
We bid a warm welcome this evening to those who are our guests. We're delighted to have you here. We invite everyone to continue their Lenten pilgrimage a week from tonight on the next Wednesday evening, as well as in the Sundays. The announcements are in the bulletin. God be with you.